When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Since March 19, 1979, C-SPAN, a public service funded by the cable television industry, began giving you direct access to government in an innovative way by putting you, the viewer, into the rooms where politics is debated and policies are determined. C-SPAN began as a bold initiative. Now, 45 years later, we are essential for those wanting to see democracy at work without editing or commentary. With continued cable support, we've done this without a dime of government funding, maintaining our independence. As we mark 45 years, the business of media is rapidly changing, and now your support is crucial for our mission's future. Support our legacy of unfiltered access by donating today at cspan.org/donate.
On About Books, we delve into the latest news about the publishing industry with interesting insider interviews with publishing industry experts. We'll also give you updates on current nonfiction authors and books, the latest book reviews, and we'll talk about the current nonfiction books featured on C-SPAN's Book TV.
And welcome to About Books. In a few minutes, we're going to chat with Brenna Connor, a books industry analyst at Circana, about book sales numbers in the United States in the first quarter of 2024. But first, here's some of the latest news from the publishing world. Well, five publishers have now joined Penguin Random House in its federal suit challenging an Iowa state law that prohibits books featuring descriptions of sex acts in K-12 school libraries and classrooms. Hachette, HarperCollins, Macmillan, Simon & Schuster, and Sourcebooks have signed on to that lawsuit challenging Iowa's State File 496, as it's known. In a joint statement, the publishers said, quote, "The alarming rise of book bans across the country demands our collective action. Now, more than ever, we must stand firmly with our authors and readers to defend the fundamental right to read and freedom of expression." A recent PEN America analysis found more than 4,000 instances of bans or attempted book bans in more than 50 public school districts across the country from July to December of 2023. In other news, Politico reported that Simon & Schuster has withdrawn a contract for a book about President Joe Biden that was being written by Axios national political reporter Alex Thompson. Politico attributed the move to the lack of demand for books about President Biden. The publication noted sales numbers for Chris Whipple's The Fight of His Life and Franklin Foer's The Last Politician, those two recent books about Joe Biden, combined for less than 20,000 copies sold. On social media, Alex Thompson confirmed Politico's report, but said that he was still working on that book and is aiming for a 2025 release with a new publisher. And speaking of Simon & Schuster, as Book TV viewers know, Simon & Schuster is celebrating 100 years of being in the publishing business. Recently, Book TV's Peter Slen sat down with Simon & Schuster CEO Jonathan Karp to talk about the company and its history. One of the key figures that Mr. Karp discussed was the late Simon & Schuster editor Alice Mayhew. She was known as the queen of the Beltway book. Here's part of that conversation with Jonathan Karp and Peter Slen.
Alice was one of the reasons I wanted to come to work at Simon & Schuster. I would say that Alice worked with some of the greatest authors of our time, and some of them are still with us, most notably Walter Isaacson, Bob Woodward, David Marinus. She was an extraordinary person and editor. She cared deeply about her authors, and she was constantly in touch with them. Doris Kearns Goodwin, who I've had the real great privilege and pleasure to work with. After Alice passed away, I began working with Doris, and we're about to publish Doris's next book. It's coming out in April, and it's called An Unfinished Love Story, and it's one of the greatest experiences I've had as an editor working with Doris. And Alice was her her champion for decades, starting, I think, with No Ordinary Time and Team of Rivals. Alice worked with Bob Woodward on all of his books, and it was a true respectful editorial relationship. And I and in fact, when Alice passed away, I think all three of those authors dedicated their books to her. She was a great editor, and we miss her.
And for those of us in Washington, she was informally known as the Queen of the Beltway books about Washington, nonfiction books. So I wanted
she
to make-
was, and she also refused to give an interview. And yes. And I begged her, and I tried so hard. You know, the Wall Street Journal was going to put her on the front page. She wouldn't do it. I really would like to pay homage to her. She was in the arena with the author and had such incredible curiosity. I think that she started with, I believe that John Dean's book, Blind Ambition, that was actually her title. She also worked with, there's so many, Taylor Branch, who we still publish, his award-winning series on Martin Luther King, his trilogy. Alice edited all those books. And she was relentless. When she wanted to sign up a book, there was no avoiding her, and she really went the extra mile for her authors. And she really is the personification of what an editor is, what I hope a Simon & Schuster editor will always be. And it's a flame we very much want to keep alive.
And you can watch a longer interview with Jonathan Karp about the 100th anniversary of Simon & Schuster on our website at booktv.org. And now a look at the U.S. book market in the first quarter of 2024. Joining us is Brenna Connor, a books industry analyst at the market research group Circana. Brenna Connor, Circana just released its first quarter snapshot for 2024. So how did the U.S. book industry do in the first 3 months of this year?
Yep. So in the first quarter of 2024, book sales reached 195 million units, which is down 3% compared to what we measured in the first quarter of 2023. But I want to put that into context because we're coming off of some of the highest volume years that we've ever tracked in BookScan. So our data goes back to 2004. We have 20 years of history. And 2021 was the highest volume year that we've ever tracked in BookScan, and 2022 was the second highest. So even though we're seeing softer sales when we compare to prior year, we're still very strong by historical standards. So I like to measure versus 2019 because 2019 was kind of our last normal year in the book market. This was before the pandemic. This was before Book Talk. So Q1 sales versus Q1 in 2019 are actually up 18%. So very healthy and strong market.
So who's selling and what genres are selling in 2024?
Sure. So the bright spots of growth in Q1 include adult fiction as well as young adult fiction. The fiction market has been very strong really since 2020 and the emergence of Book Talk, and that continues to be the case in the start of this year. At the category level, we're watching the fantasy category post the most gains, but we're also seeing growth among a number of other areas, including thrillers and science fiction.
One category Circana mentions in its first quarter report is romantasy. What is romantasy?
Sure. So romantasy is a portmanteau that combines romance and fantasy. It's a romance storyline that takes place in a fantasy setting. And romantasy is certainly behind a lot of the growth that we're watching within the fantasy category. Right now, the dominating authors are Sarah J. Maas, along with Rebecca Yarros. But beyond those authors that are driving a lot of the growth, we do see a variety of others posting gains. So growth is coming from a diverse author list.
Sarah J. Maas with some 3.1 million print books sold in the first quarter of 2024, according to the latest Circana report. it might be a good time to stop and explain what Circana is and what BookScan is.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So I can certainly talk more about that. So BookScan is a data set that measures print book sales in the U.S. The way that we get to this data is through retail POS data. So we have partnerships with more than 1,000 retailers who provide us point of sale data, and then we aggregate that data on a weekly basis. We benchmark our coverage at 85% of the U.S. print book market, and our panel includes all of the major retailers that you would expect. So Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We also have big box stores like Target and Walmart, and many other stores. And then I also want to mention that we have over 900 independent bookstores included in our channel.
So when you say we benchmark our numbers at 85% of the market, does that mean that the numbers that you point out in your report are, there's parts of the book market that you don't capture in this report?
That's correct. So the areas of the market that we don't capture include library sales. So we're not tracking anything that libraries are purchasing. And then we also don't have full coverage into the self-published book market. So our data is really focused on trade channels.
And how often is Circana putting out these reports? And who is the end user for this information that you put out?
Sure. So our data is updated on a weekly basis. And we have kind of a number of teams that help us do that. So we have a technology team and a product team and a data quality team that are all working on the back end to make sure that our data is released on time and that our data remains accurate. So we're tracking about 13 million units each week across more than 16,000 retail locations. So as you can imagine, quite a lot of effort goes into making sure that our data is accurate and released timely. In terms of who uses our data, of course, publishers use our data. Literary agents are also using our data, book retailers, as well as media outlets.
So on Book TV, we often or mostly focus on nonfiction books. How did nonfiction books sales do in the first quarter of 2024, especially compared to 2023?
Adult nonfiction has been a struggling part of the market for the last few years. So adult nonfiction sales are down in the first quarter of the year compared to last year. The category that's driving the most decline is biography, but we are comparing against Q1 of last year when Prince Harry's Spare was released. Spare was the number one overall best-selling book of 2023. So we're comping against some of those higher sales. But even when we exclude Spare, there's other categories posting softer sales. So this includes things like self-help and business.
When was the last time a nonfiction or a biography did as well in sales as Spare?
That's a good question. I think that it would be Michelle Obama's Becoming. That was a top seller, a bestseller, certainly. And the unique thing about Spare is that it sold a lot of units very quickly. So I think it hit 1 million in print unit sales within the first month of release. And Michelle Obama's Becoming also did the same.
So what are the nonfiction books that are selling right now?
So celebrity biography was a big one. So, of course, Spare fits into this, but Britney Spears' memoir that was released last year was also a top seller, and a number of other celebrity memoirs are doing quite well. And then the other thing I'd like to bring up as it relates to adult nonfiction is that I think some of the softer sales that we're watching in the print market can be explained by a format shift. So I think that there's some readers that are switching their print book reading for audiobook reading, particularly in the adult nonfiction market. And the reason behind this thinking is because the categories that we're seeing softer sales for in print are actually growing in the audiobook market.
And why is that happening now? We've been talking about audiobooks for a long time.
Audiobooks have been showing double-digit gains for the last 10 years. And they continue to be the fastest growing format. I think this is an area where kind of new readers are really coming in and engaging with audiobooks where they may not have engaged with print books. Spotify, of course, has also helped to grow sales in the audiobook market. So Spotify releasing, you know, a number of free hours for premium users to be able to listen to audiobooks. So I think Spotify is helping with that growth.
How does that compare to the adult fiction? So the Sarah J. Maas and the Rebecca Yarros, are they also doing equally as well in the audiobook sales as the numbers that you're reporting in print book sales?
Fiction is a strong area in the audiobook market, but it really does vary by author. So Sarah J. Maas is doing better in print formats, but you know, title by title, sometimes I notice that audio sales are stronger than print sales. And one recent title that comes to mind is Ann Patchett's Tom Lake. So this was released in August of last year. And in the first month of sales, her audiobook sales actually surpassed her print book sales. And I think a big driver of that was because she had Meryl Streep narrating the audiobook.
Can you talk about Kristen Hannah's The Women for a second? A book that sold about 100,000 copies or units more than the next best bestseller just in the month of March.
Yep. So Kristen Hannah always does well. She releases a new book really each spring. And when her books release, they always are topping the bestseller lists.
And Kristen Hannah doing well. But another author that did almost twice as many units just in the month of March was Dave Pickney of the series Dogman. What is Dogman?
Yes, so it's Dave Pilkey, and Dogman is a middle grade comic and graphic novel series. Dave Pilkey is, I mean, I guess similar story to Kristen Hannah, where once a new release hits, he tops the bestseller list. But Dave Pilkey is one of the overall best-selling authors in the children's market, and his Dogman series is very popular.
And then just staying on the children's market for a while, for folks who don't see these numbers month after month in these reports, they might be surprised that an author from the 1960s continues to have multiple bestsellers in the children's book section, Dr. Seuss.
Yes, Dr. Seuss is often the number one overall best-selling author in our data set. So we can look at, you know, best-selling titles, but then when we group all titles under a certain author and look at it by author, Dr. Seuss is often number one, if not certainly in the top five each year. He has a number of perennial bestsellers that are hitting the bestseller list. So, Oh, the Places You'll Go will appear on our March or our May bestseller list alongside of, you know, Graduation Season. And then his titles always do well in March because of Seuss Week. So Seuss Week is a reading celebration that many schools and libraries celebrate, and it coincides with Theodore Geisel's birthday. So March is another popular month for Dr. Seuss book purchases.
Brenna Connor, how long have you been in the book industry tracking business?
Sure. So I have been on the books team here at Circana for the last 5 years, but I began my career in marketing.
And how do you get into this work?
That's a good question. I have loved books since I was a small child. Books have always been an important part of my life. Growing up, my favorite thing to do on the weekend was go to Barnes & Noble with my mom. So I was an English major in college, and I had hoped to work in the publishing world, which proved to be somewhat tricky to navigate because I was not from the New York area and I didn't have a lot of contacts within publishing. So I began working in marketing instead. I started off at a marketing agency, and then I moved to market research, which was with NPD at the time. So the NPD group acquired the books team from Nielsen in 2017. And when I was on the marketing team, that was kind of the first time that I realized there was a book group that did this. And I knew that I wanted to be a part of it. So I began working on the books team in 2019, a position to open up, and I was lucky enough to get it. So really, I brought with me, you know, my love for books and a pretty good understanding as to how companies use data to, you know, answer business questions or create strategies. So I was lucky enough to get the role. And then I was also set up with some vigorous analyst training to kind of advance my technical skills and my analytical skills and learn to analyze data from a category management perspective. So now I get to kind of combine my love of books with my analytical mindset, and it's a good fit.
Is it okay for an industry analyst to say what you're reading right now and what genres you like to read?
That is okay, yes. So I am primarily a fiction reader. I tend to read in print formats, although I do also include some audiobook in my reading diet. So I recently finished Percival Everett's James, which was fantastic. Also, as an English major and, you know, someone who appreciates classics, I always liked Huckleberry Finn. So very cool what Percival Everett did with James. And then I did start reading Sarah J. Maas' A Court of Thorns and Roses series. I had to understand what the hype was. Sarah J. Maas has been dominating the bestseller list this year, best-selling author year to date so far, and I needed to understand why. So I'm on book two in that series, and I am into it, and I understand why so many people are enjoying it.
Just one of the 3.1 million print books sold in the first 3 months of this year by Sarah J. Maas. Your reports always include a look ahead, key trends to watch. One that jumped out to me from your latest report is that books are cool again.
Yep. So I think that most of us in the world of, you know, books and reading and people who work in this industry have always thought that books are cool. But now this idea is expanding. So we're watching a rise in engagement from young people on TikTok, of course, talking about the books that they are enjoying on BookTok. We're also watching beauty and fashion influencers use their platform to talk about the books they're reading and the books they're excited about. We see new celebrity book clubs emerging from celebrities like Kaya Gerber and Dua Lipa. And even the Bookshelf Wealth design aesthetic is trending. So this is, celebrating folks that have a great number of books and shelve them in beautiful ways. So all of these point to the idea that books are cool again. It's cool to be seen with a book. It's cool to be reading a book. It's cool to be carrying a book as an accessory or even using books to decorate your home.
And then final question for you, Brenna Connor. Trends to watch in the final three quarters of 2024.
Sure. So I think that we'll see continued strength in the adult fiction market for sure. So why fiction? I think that many consumers are seeking an escape from the exhaustion and the anxiety that, you know, has been brought on by the last few years, but also will continue throughout the year ahead. So, this is, of course, related to political and economic and household and employment uncertainties. So I think that consumers will be seeking uplifting stories in the year ahead. I think this will continue to benefit some of the categories that we're already watching grow, like fantasy and science fiction, but I think it will carry over into growth for literary fiction, contemporary fiction, as well as even romance.
Brenna Connor is a director and industry analyst at Circana, and we appreciate your time with Book TV.
Thank you.
And this is About Books, a program and podcast produced by C-SPAN's Book TV. Well, each week, dozens of new books are published. Here's a few. Best-selling historian Doris Kearns Goodwin is out with her latest book, which is part biography, part memoir, and part history. It's titled An Unfinished Love Story, A Personal History of the 1960s, and it focuses on Miss Goodwin and her husband Richard in the final years of his life. Another best-selling author, Michael Korda, is out with a new book about World War I, and the lives of the soldier poets who experienced the horrors of trench warfare. Mr. Korda's new book is titled Muse of Fire. And in Knife, Meditations After an Attempted Murder, author Salman Rushdie offers his account of the August 12th, 2022 knife attack that nearly took his life. The British-American novelist was left blind in one eye from that attack that took place during an appearance at a New York art center. The incident came more than 30 years after Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini called for Mr. Rushdie to be killed for publishing his book, The Satanic Verses. And two upcoming books to note. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is releasing The Art of Power on August the 6th. According to publisher Simon & Schuster, the book will include her personal account of the events of January 6th, 2021. Ms. Pelosi's previous book was Know Your Power, A Message to America's Daughters, which came out in 2008. Simon & Schuster also announced recently that it had penned a deal with Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer to release her book about her life and career. It's titled True Gretch, and it is set to be released on July the 9th. The Simon & Schuster press release quoted Governor Whitmer as saying, "No matter who you are or what you hope to achieve, I hope this book will help you find the good and use it to make a difference." She went on to say, "In this moment, our world is thirsty for compassion, empathy, big ideas, and the grit to get stuff done." And the governor didn't use the word stuff. And this week on Book TV's Afterwards program, USA Today's Susan Page discusses the life and career of journalist Barbara Walters. She was interviewed by former ABC News White House correspondent Ann Compton. Here's a preview.
You know, we struggled a little with the title, and I would ask people, what should I title this biography of Barbara Walters? And people suggested things like Million Dollar Baby or Ba Ba Wa Wa. I mean, these were actually slings and arrows that she endured, yes. And it was interesting that that's what came to mind with some people when I talked about a biography of Barbara Walters. But it was my editor at Simon & Schuster, Priscilla Payton, who said, she really strikes me as a rule breaker. And rule breakers seem to be exactly right, because Barbara Walters broke every rule around. And, you know, she didn't just break rules. She ignored them. She pretended she couldn't see them. So the idea that a woman couldn't do serious interviews, she just ignored it and went ahead and scheduled serious interviews. The idea that a woman couldn't be paid as much as a man, well, she certainly blew that idea up. The idea later in life that a woman couldn't age on TV. You know, she was 67 when she embarked on her last big adventure, The View, the ABC talk show. So rule breaker seemed to me to be exactly right.
A reminder that Afterwards airs every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Book TV. Well, thanks for joining us for About Books, a program and podcast produced by C-SPAN's Book TV. We'll continue to bring you publishing news and author programs. A reminder that you can get this program on the C-SPAN Now app. And you can also watch all our programs online anytime at booktv.org.